Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us this Tuesday, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Standard Time, Eastern Standard Time. As always, we'd like to have you join us as we begin our Bible study with devotion. And we always have song, scripture, and prayer. We'll start off by having a song by Open My Heart by Yolanda Adams.
Especially
Amen. Our scripture is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and I'm reading from the Message. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disbelief. We all did it, all of us doing what we felt like doing. When we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. Amen. He did all this of his own, with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next, to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we've done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. God adds a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Can we bow our heads in prayer? God, we come before you today just totally excited about your word, totally excited to hear a word from you, totally excited to sit at your feet. We are praising and on high because we just celebrated the resurrection. And we know whose we are. Thank you, Jesus, for doing all of that work just for us. That you loved us so much, so much, so much, so much, that you would go through the passion for us. And Lord, so we're here today to acknowledge that we are letting go of that old stagnant life of sin, that we have turned instead to a life of love in which you've embraced us, and we want to let that sin, that life, totally go. And because of that, we are wanting to walk in you and learn of you and be like you. And the more we walk in you and your footsteps and hear your voice and listen to your word, the stronger we are, the more that we grow, the more we exalt you, because we fully begin to understand the magnanimity of who you are and whose we are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for covering us. Oh, Lord. So tonight, Dr. Nooks is going to lead us. Tonight, he's going to share from his heart, tonight, a message. And we're going to talk about how can we know that we're walking in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And we just ask, Lord, that you might open our eyes so that we can clearly see where you're leading and we can go along that path we can follow. We ask these blessings now, Dr. Nooks, and on Your Place Christian Church, and on those who are joining us to listen and to grow and to prepare. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, Dr. Nooks, we are here tonight, and we're so excited because we have been focusing on this text, this the theme, the fruit of the Spirit, for the whole month of April. And we have talked about, why do we have spiritual gifts? What are the gifts of the spirit? What are the gifts of the flesh? What does it mean to walk in the spirit? And how can we know that we're walking in it? The Lord has been good to us, Dr. Nix. Thank you so much for your leadership and your teaching. It has been a true blessing. So we are excited to learn again the end of this month. If you are ready, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Susie. Thank you, my sisters and brothers that are listening in. And perhaps we can have a roll call just to see who might be on the line with us tonight. I know Dr. Susie and myself are here.
You.
Okay.
Me and you right now.
Well, we want to ask the question tonight, how can we know that we are walking in the Spirit? And I guess before we ask that question, I'd just like to ask, is it important really that we do know that we're walking in the Spirit? And Dr. Susie, perhaps you can share, and then I can share with those that are listening in. Is it important that we know when we are walking in the Spirit? Do you have some thoughts on that?
I think it's very important that we know, and when we know, when we're walking in the Spirit, because that's when we know that we're walking in what God wants us to do, is when we're walking according to the Spirit. And we always want to make the choice to be in God's will versus out of God's will. So I would think it's very important to know.
Amen. Amen. And I agree, it's important for us to know, because if we don't realize when we're walking in the Spirit, then we won't realize when we're not. So, and then it's easy for us to, I think, trip up and not live the kind of life that God would have us to lead or to live. And we discussed the last time about really what it means to walk in the Spirit. And we shared that walking in the Spirit really means to live. This is how we live our lives in the Spirit. It's not just a physical, muscular picking up your foot and putting it back down and walking or even running. And I like the walking metaphor, because that means you do it slowly and not just rushed. So it's how we live our lives, and it ought to be intentional. We ought to give it some thought. So walking in the Spirit is very important. And Dr. Susie, I'd like for us to look at Galatians before we get started with our other text. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23.
Okay.
16 through 26. Galatians 5, 16 through 26.
Galatians 5, I can read.
Okay.
So do you know what version you prefer?
It can be the Message.
Right now I have the Message.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. I'm going to read Galatians 5, 16 through 26. It says, "My counsel is this: live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsion of selfishness, for there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way, according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence. It's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper and impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community, and I could go on. This isn't the first time I've warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? Amen. What happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting out of our way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is the kind of life we've chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implication in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. I like that. To God be the glory.
Amen. So I want us to focus on our theme. How can we know that we're walking in the Spirit? And I think this text gives us some ideas of some things that we can look out for when we know that we're not walking in the Spirit. In verse 16 through 18, Dr. Susie, I think it points out about being selfish. So when we find ourselves being selfish, it says, "For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with the free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness." So when we find ourselves living a selfish life, then I think that indicates something to us that perhaps we're not walking in the Spirit. And do you have anything you want to add to that as far as selfishness is concerned?
No, I think you said it very well. This passage is very blunt and straightforward, Dr. Nuss. And I'm really excited about it, and I think what we talked about so far is on point.
Okay. Then it talks about the kind of life that we should also look out for when it talks about walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. And some of the things that we need to look out for, so we'll know that we're not walking in the Spirit, is when we are repetitive and loveless. Cheap sex.
Now, what do you mean when you say repetitive? Because let's clarify that.
I think repetitive means that we don't see people as unique, and how we approach people is just repetitive. Like, you know, good morning, you know, how you doing? And we don't even wait to listen to the reply. So we become repetitive, and we see people as objects rather than unique individuals. At least that's my perception of being repetitive. You know how we just say, hello, how you doing? You know, God bless you. And we don't even wait to hear really what their story is. So our actions become repetitive. And when people experience that, then they feel like they're not really special, or you're not really concerned about who I am because you just treat me like everybody else, you know. So our actions don't reflect actions of love, because if you love somebody, you care about who they are and not about just do they fit into a certain pattern or am I just going to be repetitive? Because all of us do this, and the scripture we read earlier, you know, reflects that. It says in Ephesians that all of us have done this, and all of us, I think, do it now. But what I'm trying to get us to look out for is to see if we're doing it, and then know that this is not the way we should be living. You know, we've been given a pattern of how we should live in the Spirit, so that's the way I see it, Dr. Susie. I don't know if you see it any other way, but that's the way I see it.
I was just wondering because I was trying to look into if there was a that's a transliteration in the message, and so I was trying to find out what the actual word was in the original language. So that's in verse 16, right, or 17?
It's in verse 19, I think.
Okay, it says the act of the sinful nature, obvious sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. At least this is 5:17. Is that 19? Is that the same thing?
19,
hatred,
yeah.
Discord, jealousy, yeah. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warned you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom. So I was just trying to see if there was something. I think the big idea, according to what you were saying, Dr. Nux, is just that these are acts of the sinful nature. And the objective is to make sure that we understand that we want to walk purged of that, contrary to that, and according to the
Amen.
Spirit, not according to the flesh. And I think,
yes.
You know, however you want to see it, whichever words or you want to talk about, whether it's repetitive. And, you know, when you talk about repetitiveness, I can see that sometimes, you know, students tell me when I was working in the college area, they would say that people would, you know, Americans would say, good morning. Or how you doing? I had one student say, I really don't understand why you guys say how you doing, because you really don't want to know.
Yeah.
Because when I try to respond, you really aren't waiting for me to respond. You're just making
Amen.
A statement. And I don't understand that. So maybe that's what you mean when you talk about that, that the lack of authenticity of the concern,
yes.
Or it's what I heard you say. And repetitive in that it's rhetorical, even to the point of being inauthentic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, but, and I think that's what this, when we talk about the acts of the sinful nature, all of them are what gives us pleasure. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, And, you know, this is really what hurts me today. I'm just going to tell you, Dr. Nux, I have been thrown in the sense that I've been in pain over what has happened in San Diego with the Jewish community, what has happened with the Muslim community, what has happened in Charlottesville with the people, you know, backing and running over people, devaluing life. I just struggle with this hate. And it just hurts. And it just hurts. And it's like we are choosing hate over love every time. And I don't understand. And people call themselves Christians and they're doing that. So,
Amen.
You know, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I don't either, Dr. Susie. And I think the people that are trying to walk in the spirit, it really doesn't make sense the way that the people that walk in the flesh are. But I guess we have to remember that we walked that way at one time also, and sometimes we had some of those same feelings. And that's why it's so important for us to know when we're walking in the spirit and when we're leaning toward carnality or trying to walk in the flesh again. Things like jealousy and hatred, I mean, we struggle with that even now, even though we're walking in the spirit. Anger, temper, brutal temper, you know, really hard, having difficulty loving people and trusting people. You know, I think those are also fruits of the flesh. And coming out of, I think, sometimes selfishness, because we are concentrating on ourselves and we don't really see or try to see the other person or the other people. But the fruit of the spirit, you know, and when we get to the fruits of the spirit, we look at love and kindness, you know, tolerance for each other. These are personal traits that the spirit enhances and brings out in us. And really it's reflective of a new creature.
Amen.
You know, in 1 Corinthians 15. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But, I was just saying we have Brett and James Christian on the line. So if you want to invite others into the conversation, good to see you, Brett. Go ahead, Dr. Nuss.
Oh, yeah. So we're just trying to talk about the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. And we're talking, James and Brett, about how do I know that I'm walking in the Spirit and the importance of knowing that I'm walking in the Spirit, because then we can, if we know that we are, then we know that we're not walking in the ways of the flesh. But if we know the ways of the flesh, then we know that we're not walking in the Spirit at that time. So, and I think all of us kind of go back and forth, if not all of us, but those of us that are in the Spirit sometimes fall back on the ways of the flesh. But then when we do, if we know what those ways are, then we can start saying, hey, this is not the way I ought to be living. And we talked about some of those things, being repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. And, Lord, we got a lot of garbage that's floating around now, especially on the Internet, you know, on social media and television, so much garbage. And frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, and we suffer with that. We think we know what happiness is, and we grab for it in fleshly ways instead of trying to pursue the ways of the spirit and loving people. Trinket gods, we make gods of people, we make gods of our children, gods of our spouses, gods of cars, gods of jobs. So we have all these trinket gods, magic show religion, you know, show me something, you know. And we see a lot of the magic show religion displayed in, you know, these guys that are sitting up saying somebody's got a heart sickness right now and they're in this row right here, or somebody wheeling people up on stage that already know how to walk and then telling them to get up and walk. That's magic show religion, you know.
But you know.
Go ahead, Dr. Susie. I'm talking too much.
Well, the thing that's interesting to me, Dr. Nux, is when you find people, and this I think is important to our listeners tonight, people who are trying to walk in relationship with God, people who fall short, people who are striving to grapple with who God is in their lives, people who it's not that easy to understand and believe everything just the way their parents did or my parents did or I did, or it's all challenging. So the question becomes, Lord, how do you manifest yourself to me? Because even as you look down in chapter 6, it says we should restore people when they fall short. But we don't show, unfortunately. We have to do a better job of bearing one another's burdens, of not looking for something in return to help our brother or sister, of being present so that we understand and can see God in the other person. You know, it's so hard these days to see God's manifestation on this earth because so much hatred, so much evil, so much is being done that is contrary to what we perceive God is all about. And so I fear that our young people get to the point they're going like, well, where is God in the midst of this? I don't know.
Amen.
And so
amen.
Who's on the line? Brett? Jamie? James?
Yes, I'm here.
I just want to throw a question out there. Jamie, how do you feel that, you know, young people who are struggling, I mean, just like when we see young people who are being killed, the Jewish people in their synagogues and their places of worship, or we see the Muslim people being killed in their places of worship, or we're seeing people all over the world who are showing hate to one another. How does that feel as a young person? If you're willing to talk. If not, we'll go on. Okay. So, Brett, go ahead.
That'd be a good question for all of us,
I think.
Go ahead, Brett. It just blows me away. So, Dr. Nooks, go ahead and you can start it. I feel that it impacts our youth today in a major way. Go ahead.
Now, this is Brett. One of the things that we have to look at is that as Christians, when we are not on our job spiritually, the devil never lets up. So while we sit back and we're comfortable because everything is going good for us, eventually something's going to happen. And as Christians, we need to be diligently trying to win souls to come to church. See, we got to get them in the door first. Once we get them in the door, then we can start teaching them if our ministers are teaching in a way to reach the young audience. See, you're competing against rappers, singers, people that perform with less than what used to be called appropriate clothing. You got people that got all kinds of stuff tattooed on their bodies where you can see it in plain sight. And none of it is really reflecting the goodness of the person that has the tattoos. So when you got people that don't think highly of themselves and you're trying to win them over, you got to find out from them what their core values are and then work with those core values and try to link that to the word. Yes.
Can you explain? I was listening to you, but I didn't understand. What does tattoos have to do with it? I'm sorry.
Well, a lot of girls out here have slogans and words tattooed on their body. And the thing is, I was at Black Expo last year, and I'm sure they'll be down there this year. This one girl had the words B-I-T-C-H on the left leg, and on the other one, she had something else. The thing is that when you defile your body and you're advertising a certain thing, then what does that say about your core values? And this is where we have to start reaching people in the home. We have to start reaching the neighborhoods. We need to start reaching those people that are that has the influence in the communities to try and get people to start going back to church. We need to start hitting our radio stations.
So
go ahead.
So what happens when some of those tattoos are angels or they're Bibles?
Then they're reflecting exactly what they have on their bodies. But if you got an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other one, what does that say? See, a person that has tattoos really don't look at the way these things are going to be looking 30 years from now and what it's going to say.
Yes.
But go ahead.
I just wanted to say, brother, that this is where I think you turn some young people off, and I think Dr. Susie was talking about that. If you condemn tattoos, and some tattoos are not negative. I know that one of my daughters has AKA tattooed on her shoulder, you know, and
right.
And some of them are reflecting. My brother has tattoos of God and the cross on his shoulder, and some
right.
people have tattoos that they get on there that they really, maybe they when they were younger, they thought they were cool, but now and
of
I've
course.
Got some people that are 60 now and they get tattoos and that. And they've been trying to get them off for years. So inside is what we're trying to look at and not what's on the outside.
Right.
But that,
right.
You
and
know,
I
that's
wasn't
where
talking,
the spirit. Yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't talking about everybody that has a tattoo that they're all bad. I'm just saying that
yeah.
you got people that got, you know, something starts with a W. And a B on the front and on their back, it says a W something. What is that? What is that? What kind of signals is that sending out to the public? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you got.
So, bro, all I was trying to get you to do is to explain it, because I knew what you were thinking is that you weren't saying that everybody's
mm-hmm.
tattoo is
right.
inappropriate. But I was trying to get you to push.
Right.
I was trying to push for you to explain more, because we got all different types of tattoos. Some, you know,
right.
I even wanted to have a tattoo of my daughter's name, you know, and her birth and
right.
her death, you know, because she died. So, tattoos are, and especially the young people in this generation, it's so many people who do tattoos. But the issue
right.
is what we're looking at, as Dr. Nook said, is the heart. What's on the inside? And how do we live a spirit life, you know, whether we got tattoos or we look like Dennis Rodman, you know?
Right.
I think you
mm-hmm.
hit the nail on the head, Britt, when you said the issue is understanding. It goes back to understanding our relationship with God. And
right.
we need to be focused on the Spirit. We need to be walking in the Spirit, and we need to be trusting God for every step that we take. And, you
right.
know, young people, old people, you know, I'm beginning to feel, don't start laughing at me, Britt. I'm beginning to feel the age. I'm beginning to feel the pain of being old.
I know.
I have been so, it hurts. I mean, my hips, my back, I'm beginning to feel old. And the reality is that we have to walk in a way that glorifies God. And we have to know when we're walking in that way. We have to know when we call on God and we're in the Spirit. because it's in our leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit that we're able to please God and know what it is that God desires.
I agree with that. But one of the things I wanted to say on kind of finishing up is that when it comes to our churches need to be back into the giving into the neighborhoods. When somebody needs something or they need help, we need to be able to meet their needs. And a lot of churches have the resources, but they're not doing it. They're not showing their Christian faith. It's like they want to keep it for themselves and not willing to share it with anybody else.
Amen. Amen. And we just read about that in Ephesians 2:1-10, and we were talking about selfishness. Well, and we read it also in Galatians 5,
and
where we were talking about
and
selfishness.
Brett, I encourage, you know, all of our listeners who are actively involved in a congregation, in a church, you know, the issue is that, you know, if your church is not ministering to those around them and in the midst of their community, then I would encourage you to read the text, read the Bible, to see how God wants us to make an impact wherever we are. We're to bloom where we're planted. We're to grow where we are and make a difference where we are. And I don't want to say every congregation doesn't do this, because there may be some that do. But I would really encourage us to be more intentional about shepherding our own, because there's a lot of churches that don't even know what their own members' struggle is. They don't even know that their own members don't have food, water, and can't pay their bills. They don't know that. And I think we have become remiss of meeting the needs of our own. The first century church had a methodology of reaching out to make sure that none of them were without. And to me, we need to make sure that we're doing that. That we the at least those within the congregations that we serve, that those people are not without. That they have their bills paid. That they have
Amen.
Food to eat. That they have the basic essentials. But again, that requires something as well, you know, accountability. You need to be vested in the church as much as you want the church to vest into you. And sometimes I don't think we want to be accountable for that even. You know, we want, but we don't want to give back. And it's the people.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Y'all understand
yes,
what
I understand.
I was trying to say?
Yep.
Yeah, you said. And I agree with you.
Mhm.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So Dr. Nooks, go ahead.
Amen. We're discussing how can we know that we are walking in the Spirit, and we've just been discussing some things that will let us know when we're walking in the Spirit, and some things that will let us know when we're not walking in the Spirit. But to get, you know, about selfishness, I think, you know, Dr. Susie read about it and Brett talked about it. But when we're selfish, then we're not caring about other people. We're not loving other people. And I just wanted us to look briefly at Galatians 6:1-5. Somebody can get that, Galatians 6:1-5. Brett, do you have a Bible?
Brett,
yes, I got one.
Okay. Galatians 6:1-5.
You said Galatians what?
6:1-5.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
It says, brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, You who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of security and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. Bear one another's burdens and troubles. Hold on just a minute. I keep getting stuff popping up in the middle of the text.
Okay.
Okay. Bear one another's burdens and troubles, troubles and morals, faults, and in this way fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ, the Messiah, and complete what is lacking in your obedience to it. For if any person thinks himself to be somebody, too important to be condescend to shoulder another's load, when he is nobody, a superiority except in his own estimation, he deceives and deludes and cheats himself. But let every person carefully scrutinize and examine and test his own conduct and his own work. He can then have the personal satisfaction and joy of doing something commendable in itself alone, without resorting to boastful comparison with his neighbor. For every person will have to bear, be equal to understanding, and calmly receive his own little load, if oppressive faults. And 6 says, let him who receiveth instruction in the word of God shall all good things with his teacher contributing to his support.
Amen. That's far enough. And I wanted us to look at really helping each other. And the Spirit, if we walk in the Spirit, we should have love and kindness and gentleness and care for each other. And it's just, you know, we restore people when they mess up in a spirit of gentleness. And I think Dr. Susie talked earlier about so much hatred going on in the world. And I think, Dr. Susie, I think you asked a question also about young people and not wanting to go to church and things like this. And I think the spirit that we walk in,
come on,
affects our ability to draw and to keep people in the body of Christ. And I'm not even going to say church, because a church is not a building, but a church is the people. And church is being defined differently nowadays, and it's, you know, there are people that are touched, you know, on the internet. There are people that are touched with ministries like this. There are people that have phone ministries. There are people that get together in different ways. Sometimes it's over coffee. But it's the body of Christ coming together. And how we act affects our ability to attract and keep people in the body of Christ and make them want to be a part of this body. If we're phony, young people will see it right away. And many of us are. And young people don't want to be a part of anything phony. And I really think that most people don't want to be a part of anything phony. But some of us have gotten so used to phoniness till phoniness almost appears to be reality anymore. And so we go and we are repetitive in our worship service. We're repetitive in our in how we sing songs. We're repetitive in how we preach. And it's almost like we have a hard time being guided by the Spirit, because we know what we want to do, and that's what we do. And so God has a hard time working with stubborn, stiff-necked people that don't want to be submissive to God's will. So
come on.
So that text, I just invite comments from, you know, Dr. Susie, James, Brett, about this concept of being not, and also it talked about not being big-headed or thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. And we really have a problem with that in our culture because we teach people that they're supposed to be better than other people. I mean,
amen.
Beat this person, beat that person. You're in competition all the time. You know, you want you to win this, or win that. We want you to be smarter than this person and smarter than that person and run the race faster and beat somebody on the basketball court. It's all about beating and being in competition.
And, you know, Dr. Nooks, you know, I was thinking about that. A movie that displays that, right, very clearly is Meet the Fockers. And in that, it was like he asked the question, so you mean you really want me to celebrate seventh place? Because we're so competitive, so competitive that we don't even want us to celebrate when our children, unless they make first place. And the whole idea was, what's that to celebrate? You know, he didn't win anything. If he was first place, then we celebrated. And so it teaches us that some people view only first place as good enough. Everybody else less than that is not good enough.
Yeah.
So, right. You know,
yes,
what does that say?
Yeah, it says that we're walking in the flesh. I mean,
yeah.
If we're, and it's about ourselves, about selfishness. A lot of times it's apparent selfishness, not even the kid that they're telling, you know, putting out there saying you got to win something. The kid doesn't even really care sometimes. But the parent does because they want to look like they're the best. You know, I got the best kid. I got the smartest kid. I got, you know, and it just spreads like a virus. And so all this competition is going on, and our scripture tells us that's not the way we're supposed to act when we're walking in the spirit. We're not supposed to be selfish. But, I mean, that goes against so much in our minds and in our spirits to say, hey, I don't care if I win this game. You know, let them win. It might make them feel better. You know, or it's okay if you're not. And I'll tell you what, it's putting pressure on our children. It's putting pressure on a lot of people that they can't deal with. They got to go see a therapist. You know, they're not good enough. You know, I'm not loved because I didn't get this, I didn't get that. And all the time God is saying, I love you. But we have all these expectations that we gotta be the winner. We gotta look better than everybody. We gotta sing louder in church. You know, we gotta. You know, I got my song. You know, I gotta sing my song. You know, I gotta sing better than Sister So and So. I gotta preach, and then the preachers used to tip me because they used to practice. You know, how they were gonna preach and how they were gonna shout and all this kind of nonsense. You know, instead of being real and unique and allowing God to use them, they were gonna perform. And many of them do perform. And I really think that's hurting the move of God. And I just believe that God is about ready to do some stuff with people. And God is tired of our churches, tired of our hypocrisy, tired of our trying to do things all on our own. You know, and we say we want to lean and depend on God. But we don't lean and depend on God very long because, you know, as soon as we get up from our knees, we go out and do our own plan. You know, and so I feel like there's a move of God that's going to happen.
All right.
And Brett, I believe it's going to be some of those tattooed people with piercings. I think they're going to start preaching the word of God. I think you're going to have people witnessing for the Lord that's just going to blow people's minds. I mean, people you've never expected before. And they might
Amen.
Look, and they're going to have real ripped up clothes, and I don't care what they're going to have, hair all messed up, but they're going to have a word from God.
There you go.
And they're not going to look like the typical people that we've been thinking because God is tired of the junk we've been putting out.
Well.
Amen.
I'm tired of the junk we've been putting out.
Yeah. And I'm tired of the way we treat people. I tell you.
Yeah.
I love people, and I just can't stand it when people are just so mean. And some of the meanest people I've ever known in my life have come out of the church. And that hurts
Amen.
Me. That really hurts me. And I think it really hurts the people. It hurts the church. Because, I mean, that means folks.
For sure, a messenger.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Amen. It does, Dr. Susan. And that's not the message that God wants us to be putting out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
Absolutely. Amen.
Dr. Nix, this is Brett. I'm gonna throw this out. I've been looking at some things, and I'm beginning to think that we're getting ready to enter into that last stage before Christ comes back. And here's my reason of thought on that. We have more women now that are not able to conceive and have babies. Whereas before, women were able to get pregnant and not have that type of problem. Only a small percentage. But this IVF stuff that they're doing has increased over the years. And I think that as God gets ready to come, we're going to see a decrease in the population of how many babies are born. I can't see him allowing babies to be born into the world when he's going to come and destroy the world. Does that make sense?
Well, I think when God's going to come, it's going to be God's determination.
Right.
And, you know, in Scripture, it says that, you know, I waited, or I didn't come in Revelation. So as the babies that are born, I think God knows all of that. And there are some people that are going to be saved. And then it doesn't matter sometimes how many that are born, because some will be saved and some will not. And so I don't know that the number of babies being born or the decline in that is going to be a determination of it. But I think there are going to be a lot of things that are going to happen toward the end times. And I think some of the conflicts that we're having, the wars and rumors of wars, and the hatred and the Gog and the Magog coming out of Russia. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that are happening if you look at Revelation that would let you believe that maybe we're moving toward that. But even Jesus didn't know when God was going to bring about the end. So God knew.
Amen.
Amen.
So tonight it's 8 o'clock, just turned 8 o'clock. I just want to say thank you for focusing us on the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you for showing and reminding us that the purpose of the Spirit, why we have it, what it is, what are the gifts, and what does it mean for us to walk in the Spirit? How do we do that, and what does that look like, and how does it impact us? And I think it's very essential, again, that we are walking in the Spirit, and we know that we are, because when we are, we're in the will of God. We are in
Amen.
The will of God.
Amen.
Dr. Nooks, if you would close us out in prayer today and an invitation. Britt, is there a take-home that you would want to share with us? James, is there a take-home, something that you got out of the Bible study? He's gone. Okay, so he's not there. So, Britt, is there a take-home you would like to share?
My take-home is just adhere to the Word of God. I know that's hard for a lot of people to understand with all these things that we're saying that we need to be doing, but it comes down to where you want to be when God calls you. Are you one that wants to be somewhere that you don't want to be, or do you want to be on your way to heaven? The thing is, we have to start as Christians to start living that life the way that Christ wants us to live. No, are you going to do it 100%? No, because the Bible said there was only one perfect person. None of us are going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. That's why Jesus gave his life, so that we could ask to be saved and forgiven of our sins. He's already prepared that place. All you got to do is just do the best you can to live your life the way that Christ wants you to live. And don't forget to pray and ask him to help you change your heart and your mind. That's it.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Dr. Nix.
Okay, my sisters and brothers, I'd just like to start by saying that there may be someone that's going to listen in and maybe is being moved by the Spirit to give their life to Christ, and we invite you to do so tonight. It's always in order. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to have some special occasion. Right where you are right now, if you confess with your mouth Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Scripture says you shall be saved, and God wants to save you. And that's a wonderful part about it. God is reaching out to save you right now. And he doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care how bad you've been. He wants to love you right now, just as you are, right where you are, and make you a brand new creature and make you a part of God's family. And we pray that for you right now. So, you know, if you say, God, I give my life to you tonight. I love you.
Yes, I know you love me.
And I want you to come into my life and make me a brand new creature. Not all of my junk. I lay it at your feet. And, God, I want you to take it. And, God, I believe in you. And I need you right now. I need you to come into my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And, God, there are people out there. Right now we are praying for revival in our country. We are praying for revival in the churches. God, there is a cloud that's over our country and over our churches and over our people that needs to be lifted. And I'm praying right now, God, for ambassadors for Christ. And I don't care whether they got a position, or they got a title. I don't care about that. Ambassadors for Christ. That comes saying, Lord, what must I do? Here I am, send me.
Yes.
And God, we pray for these people right now in Jesus' name. These people, God, are all over the country right now. Some of them are in motorcycle gangs. Some of them are in high school. Some of them are in corporate positions. Some of them are on the street begging right now. Some of them are homeless, God. We pray right now for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit and your power to empower these people to be your ambassadors. God, there is a heart, there is a desire to love people. And God, we pray for that right now in Jesus' name. We pray for the fruit of the Spirit to be manifested in people's lives right now so that they might display love and kindness and joy and long-suffering.
Yes.
And people might see it and experience it and know that this is God, because I remember that person when they used to be this way or that way. But now, because they're your child, they have been changed, and I believe if you can change them, God, you can change me. And right now that invitation is there. And, God, we thank you for this Bible study tonight, and we are praying for everyone that's on the Bible study. Comfort us, God. Strengthen us, for Satan is busy trying to destroy us. But we know that you are more powerful than Satan.
Well,
thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Just asking that next week we will have a different Bible study and that you would join us again at 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God's blessings be with you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Thank you.